Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of mouth.
Word of
mouth.
Mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from NHPR. I'm Virginia Prescott. Shortly after the jury decision in Ferguson, Missouri, comedian Chris Rock tweeted this. I just found a new app to tell you which one of your friends is racist. It's called Facebook. The joke hit home for many Twitter and Facebook users. Reasonable people who would avoid topics like the grand jury decisions in Ferguson or Staten Island or immigration or the Gaza conflict at the holiday dinner table wound up in the middle of bitter exchanges and unfriendings over these issues on Facebook. WNYC's New Tech City podcast recently aired some personal stories along with some practical advice on what to do when your friend on Facebook says something racist. And host Manoush Zamarodi is with us to talk about it. Manoush, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks so much for having me, Virginia.
Manoush, let's begin. You put together a little montage of people affected by this issue. Let's hear from them.
My story is that I had a friend that I worked with.
I recently had a dialogue on Facebook with a friend of mine about immigration and executive orders.
One of my elementary school friends who I grew up with posted a story about hair salons accepting EBT cards.
And it just got really uncomfortable because the posts he was making were about Hispanic people, and I am married to a Hispanic man.
And some of her friends started to chime in, and they made fun of African Americans on the way that they spoke and how they were going to get their hair did.
A friend of theirs, whom I didn't know, interjected a picture. And this was a photo of our current president.
By the time they got to the whole Chinaman thing and doing the nails, I just said, you know what, this is just too much for me.
A noose was photoshopped in, so now it looks like someone's putting a noose around his neck, and it was entitled, "Hope on a Rope, It's What Everyone's Been Waiting For."
Now, I no longer see racist comments on my Facebook page because I deleted my Facebook page.
So a couple things come up for me here, Manoush, starting with why these kinds of offensive messages turn up on Facebook. You know, it's not fully anonymous like internet trolling. These are family, they're colleagues, they're people you went to school with.
Well, that's the thing, though, right? Some of them you know incredibly well, very intimately. Other people are sort of people you met once. Maybe you thought you clicked, and so you friended each other. And yet, Facebook has become a place where people feel that they are sort of anonymous because they don't have to look anyone in the eye to say something like this. And once one comment, maybe it's not explicit, but sort of has an undertone of racism or sexism or classism or whatever it might be, people just sort of go with it. A lot of people either they decide, you know what, I'm not going to listen to this, and they unfriend it, like the woman you heard, Tamika Cody. Or maybe they just think, oh, this is normal, and it becomes normal, and it becomes part of the feed, and no one really stops or does anything about it.
Well, I hear from them, as I've heard from people that I know, an element of surprise or unawareness that one of your friends or even your aunt or uncle or somebody might post something that's so offensive.
Well, it's shocking, right? Because, like you say, it's not something that would come up in polite conversation. And yet, when things get heated, when it comes to politics, when it comes to racial discussion, people say things that maybe they wouldn't say at the dinner table. And yet, so I think that's what we found, Virginia, was that people were struggling. They were surprised. They were shocked. And they also didn't know what to do because, on the one hand, you don't want to deal with that. But on the other hand, if you unfriend someone, doesn't that just make your Facebook feed or whatever social media you're on, if you unfriend people or stop following people who think differently than you do, surely that makes it a more homogenous feed. I mean, we know that I think there's a study that came out that said for white people, most of them, 91% of their social circle is also white. 83% for black Americans. They average a social circle that's 83% black as well. So we know it's a pretty homogenous group that we put around ourselves in real life. And so, you know, we actually asked Facebook, do you know what the racial composition is of Facebook, of people on Facebook? And they told us that they don't track the racial composition of people's friends on the social network in any way. But they did tell us that in the 24 hours after the Ferguson grand jury decision, 11 million people had 33 million interactions about Ferguson on Facebook. It's a lot of interaction.
Yeah.
A lot of ideas, thoughts, opinions flying around really fast. Maybe people not thinking totally through how they should put perhaps a somewhat divisive comment forward, or just not thinking at all.
Well, you brought up so many interesting things, but I remember seeing a study. Now, this was from last year. Finding that Facebook is a particularly powerful medium to spread racist messages. Why is that?
Oh, yeah. So we talked to Shannon Rao. She's a social psychologist at Benedictine University in Illinois. She did a really interesting study where she created a fake Facebook guy, white guy, and she sent it out to several hundred people. She sent three different messages. So one of the messages was, you know what, we still have a long way to go with discrimination. Another message was overtly racist about white supremacy. You know, at first, participants agreed with that first message, and they really rejected the overt racist message. You know, so that's a relief, right? But then she sent out a third message, and this third message, they called it the victim message. And in this message, the writer talked about why whites are the most oppressed group in America today. Now, so it wasn't, you know, as overt or nasty. It was sort of a different angle. And they found a very high level of agreement with the message, particularly among people who use Facebook very frequently, who really use it to be part of a community. So, you know, wedged between sports scores and gossip, the sort of less obviously racist message wasn't flagged. People just kind of went with it. And Shannon Rao's point is subtle and just not saying anything, that's actually very powerful when no one flags something, when they just let it go by, when they let it seem normal. I also particularly found it interesting that it was the people who spend a lot of time on Facebook who were the most likely to agree with it, not the person who sort of pops on occasionally to get some information. And you know, and it made me depressed because it made me wonder if finding a community online can mean losing the ability to think critically. You know, that was the sort of worry that I have. Yes, it's depressing that we do create a homogenous society for ourselves off and online. But then, so surely a place that could be more sort of racially diverse, you know, online, we're not doing that. And we're sort of letting things slide as well. And that was, you know, our listeners really wanted help with, like, so what do I do? Like, how do I cope with this? Do you just, like,
well, yeah, because
it or not.
Because if people don't let it slide, I mean, well, here are the choices, right? Unfriend, ignore, or hide. Yeah. I've noticed some people just hiding posts or posts that I've hidden myself. Or confront, which sometimes means adding fuel to the fire. You're jumping into the fray. Isn't that something that should just be done privately?
Well, so that's, you know, and I have to admit, like, that is usually my MO as well, you know, which is like, well, I thought I liked this person. Now I don't. Moving on. Mm-hmm. But on the show, we also talked to DeWitt Campbell. He's a social service worker, a dialogue facilitator for the National Conference for Community and Justice in St. Louis itself. And they actually have created something. It's sort of like a formula with how to talk to people about touchy stuff. And he's said that, you know, he's so interested to see that he actually thinks their formula works better online. So let me just tell you a little bit about it. It's called LARA. It's an acronym. L-A-R-A. So L is for listen, A is for affirm, R is for respond, and A is for add. We have actually a handout for Laura on our website at newtechcity.org. But what I can tell you is that it takes time to be a good interactor. It takes time to not just unfriend, but to engage someone. It is not a quick process. And it also means not reacting in the moment. And what DeWitt told us is, like, that's the beauty of Facebook, though. You can walk away. You can walk away. You can sleep on it and not respond until the next day. So maybe, you know, yes, it's fast on Facebook, but maybe we should be going, like, maybe there should be a slow Facebook movement. I don't know.
So your Facebook friend said something racist. Now what? That was the title of a recent episode of the New Tech City podcast from WNYC. We're talking with Manoush Zamarodi. She got several personal stories and heard from several suggestions and got some data on what to do when somebody says something racist on Facebook, and she's sharing that with us now. But here, I'm thinking about something that you said earlier, that we're living here in New Hampshire, right? And it's a homogenous population. Mm-hmm. But of course, we're aiming at dialogue. And Facebook gives many of us access to a national conversation or an international conversation. Should we be even making observations without any experience of that or any context?
Yeah, you know, it's the double-edged sword of social media, right? On the one hand, your voice counts just as much as anybody else's, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. On the other hand, we often say things that we haven't really totally thought through or done the research or even considered how somebody else might feel about it. And I think what we're doing and what I hope to really explore is we're in a new world when it comes to dialogue. How do we keep it civilized while furthering the conversation? How do we maintain our humanity while we're all yelling at each other and these ugly, horrible things are popping up? And I think we were just sort of going with it right now. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's time to like use the most recent news events to sort of pause button here. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let's just take a minute.
Well, yeah, because unfriending or ignoring means ultimately that could just have a chilling effect on the conversation, you know, discouraging people from dialogue or sharing their opinion, which we do inside of our own little holiday party gatherings or water cooler conversations about it. Yeah. Facebook is one of the few places we venture outside of the bubble. So how do you nurture conversation and make it helpful?
And, you know, actually, we commissioned a survey from a market research company named Cervata. They polled randomly 300 Facebook users, and almost a third of them said that they considered blocking or unfriending someone over offensive comments about the news in particular. So not only does that mean that, like, yeah, a lot of people are seeing some nasty stuff, but yes, a lot of people are thinking it's time to cut them off. And we had another person on the program, Ibrahim Abdul-Mateen, and he is a friend of the show and also a black man who has a lot of white friends. He went to a primarily white college. A lot of those people are still – so he was seeing a lot of divisiveness. And he told us that he kind of decided, you know what? I don't unfriend anybody because I want them to all see what – each other are posting and then talk about it. He sort of felt, you know, I'm in a unique position of having an extremely heterogeneous Facebook profile. I need to put this to good by educating the white friends who probably have mostly white Facebook how I feel about this. It's my job to tell them. And if I don't, they're never going to know someone who does feel the way that I do.
One of the effects of that is that, you know, yes, you can have those conversations with people who you will not likely see again, who you went to school with, but the others you're going to see at your family holiday party.
Yeah, I mean, that to me is like, yeah, you know, Auntie Jane says something really rude on Facebook and you're going to see her at Christmas dinner. Well, that, I have to say, is where the Laura comes back in. It's time consuming, but the first thing is listening. And even if you think that what the person is saying is absolutely crazy, you have to listen thinking that this is the most wonderful person, the most respected person in my life. I'm going to pretend they are while I listen to what they say, just to get yourself in the mood. Then with Affirm, you find something, anything, anything that you can agree with that Jane says. And maybe Auntie Jane says something like, you know, it's the justice system. We have to leave it to the justice system. And you say, yes, that's what this country was founded on. I agree with you, right? You find that one point. And then you respond. That's the R. You set the tone. You start with that affirmation, and then you start to sort of explain where that has changed and where you find that the justice system maybe went wrong. And then you add facts, statistics, or counterexamples. I mean, that means you need to be a well-educated person who does the reading so that you, when you do decide, yes, I'm going to be one of those people to engage in civilized dialogue and try to explain my point of view, that you back it up, you know? We got to back it up. And my guess is that Auntie Jane, if we keep going with this analogy, that she probably doesn't talk like that at the dinner table like she might in her Facebook feed.
All right. So I'll be carrying both with me to my next log on Facebook and to holiday dinner. Manoush, thank you so much.
Oh, it was such a pleasure, Virginia.
Manoush Zamarodi, she's host of the New Tech City podcast. That's from WNYC. And there's a link to hear the episode, Your Facebook Friend Said Something Racist, Now What?, as well as the Lara handout that she mentioned. All that, wordofmouthradio.org. How about you? Have you seen offensive racist posts on Facebook? Have you unfriended? Have you hid? We'd like to know. Guess where? On our Facebook page, facebook.com/wordofmouth. Yeah. Comments and posts tossed off on Facebook can often lead to misunderstandings. Sometimes a simple act of charity can have the same result. When Word of Mouth continues, the story of one man who got more than he bargained for when he signed up to help Santa answer his letters. We'll hear about that bungle after the news.